The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. And he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's a very joyful Easter Sunday today. It's a joy for me to have my younger brother, Father Garrett, can celebrating Mass with me today. It's always a joy to have family with us, and especially to have him as a brother priest to be here for this Easter Sunday. But I can relate, since I mentioned he is my younger brother in the gospel today. The assumption is that John is the disciple whom Jesus loved that got there first. And I always think, you know, the younger ones, they always try to make sure you know that they accomplished something. So can't think of any times that happened with me and Father Garrett, though. We were little angels growing up. But thinking about that and this Sunday, I realized that growing up, you might have wondered who was younger or which one was older, because we're basically the same height. We really have been, probably since I was probably like 8 and he was 7, or I was 9 and he was 8. We've pretty much always been about the same height, and I never hit a growth spurt before he did. So we were always just pretty much the same height. And I was always the shortest in my class. So I had a lot of kind of Napoleon syndrome in me, that I always had to try to fight and work really, really hard because I was the little guy. Now, this homily isn't so you can learn more about Father Devin and all his failings and strange oddities. But it's because with growing up that way, I always struggled to kind of make sense of the Easter Triduum. From Holy Thursday and into Good Friday and into Holy Saturday, when Jesus is in the tomb, it seemed to me like Jesus was doing the opposite of fighting. That sure, he trusted God the Father and there was something good in that, but it certainly didn't seem like he was standing up for himself. It seemed like I was kind of giving up and letting Pontius Pilate and the crowds kind of dictate what was going to happen to him. That he didn't show his power on the cross or even shortly after he was put into the tomb. But instead, he waits. He stays in the tomb all the way through Holy Saturday until at that mysterious time in the middle of the night before the sun comes up, he's raised from the dead. He's raised and exits the tomb to the glory of God our Father. But what I've come to realize is that it's not Jesus being passive. That's not Jesus giving up and not fighting. But instead, this thing we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus, is that example of Jesus fighting for us. Because it is in the resurrection that he goes and faces the gates of hell. He faces the effects of our sins and the grip that evil and Satan has on us because of our personal sin and the original sin of Adam and Eve. And he goes to those gates and he breaks them down. Not passively, not just asking Satan kindly to let us go. He goes to destroy that gate so that we can be let out and live in freedom. If you've seen The Lord of the Rings, I almost imagine it's like the orcs at Helm's Deep. Like, Jesus is battering down the gates of hell with the cross. That he goes to win our freedom. Brothers and sisters, that's the joy we celebrate today. That we have a Savior that is not passive, that does not wait around for us to fix ourselves or just hoping that evil will go away. But instead, he enters into it. He fights for us and shows us that his mercy does endure forever, as we heard in the responsorial song. The Hebrew word for that mercy is hesed. Hesed doesn't just mean for forgiveness, which is usually, I think, what we imagine when we hear of God's mercy. But hesed is that enduring love. Enduring love like a parent that's always there alongside a child. The enduring love of one that cares for us and sees the goodness in us, even when we are far from them or messing everything up. That is what Jesus shows by going to the gates of hell, by beating them down with his cross and resurrection. So what is our response to this great love and this great new life that he won for us? Our response is also to not be passive. But to realize that we're called to get rid of those chains of sin. We're meant to live in the freedom that Jesus won for us. I think that's why in the gospel that we read, all of the characters are doing something active. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, and as soon as she finds it, she runs back to tell Peter and John. She doesn't yet understand exactly what has happened, but she knows she has to go and tell someone. Tell someone that knows Jesus about what has happened. Then Peter and John take off, and they have to run to the tomb immediately. Simon, once he gets there, goes and looks at what is left. Noticing that it doesn't look like a place that's been robbed. It doesn't look like somebody that's taken the body because they would have just taken everything with them. Something that strangely has been left very orderly. The cloth around his head had been folded up and put aside, and the burial cloths were just sitting there. And then it says, John then went and he saw what was there, and he believed. But then in kind of a strange way, especially for, you know, a younger brother type, John says, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Seems like a strange thing to include. I thought that's kind of what John probably meant when he said, I saw and believed. Believed that Jesus had been resurrected. Then he kind of contradicts that and he says, actually, I didn't really get what was happening yet until Jesus actually appeared to us. So why is John noting that they didn't yet understand the resurrection? I think he wants to show us that his seeing and believing itself was an active thing that John did. It was no longer just a passive thing of seeing the good things Jesus did, of listening to the parables and the teachings that he gave them. But it was at that moment that John had to make the definitive choice. Even without fully understanding the resurrection or what had happened, to say, I believe that you are the Messiah, one that can overcome sin and death, one that was willing to enter into our struggle and break down the gates of hell, breaking us free from the grip of Satan and sin. That's not a passive thing that John does. It's not a passive thing that we are called to do. Instead, we're called to actively believe that same Jesus that rose 2,000 years ago, bring the eternal light of his love into the darkness of sin and death, and bring that same light and freedom into my life. That just as he broke down those gates of hell, he can break down in my heart the things that keep me from God the Father. That he can enter those places of my life that are hard for me to love or hard for me to be like Christ himself, turning me into the saint that he calls me to be. Brothers and sisters, I can think of no better news than that good news that we hear today. That Jesus in his resurrection offers us that freedom and a chance to live differently. And that we, like Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, we can actively go and live as his disciples, welcoming that goodness and love into our lives, opening ourselves up to experience the freedom that he wants to give us, both in this life and in the life to come. That's why the church always reminds us of baptism during the Easter season. Because it was in baptism that God started that work. That he first broke into our hearts and made us part of his adopted family. The beauty is he never stops doing that. He always does it in a new way, inviting us to experience that goodness and freedom once again. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that we can rejoice and encounter that freedom once again this Easter season, seeing the freedom from sin that he won for us, and knowing that he desires to bring us to his heavenly kingdom, that we can experience that chesed of God our Father, that we can experience his enduring love forever.